You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
September the 1st, 2021. We have troops all across the face of the globe, some in direct threats in harm's way in several places, and others are training for future. And the reason I say all of this, I want you to keep in mind that even if they're not in a theater facing deadly danger from an enemy, they are in training, and sometimes there are mistakes or accidents. I bring that to your point because we had a U.S. Navy helicopter that had been aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln off the coast of San Diego crash 60 miles off San Diego. One of the six sailors on board was rescued. At last report, five others still missing. We don't know exactly what happened, but maybe you have sons, daughters in training. Things can go wrong even in training. But you do expect, don't you, if your son, your daughter, your relative, whoever it is, if they're sent into a war theater, that they're going to be given the best protection, and they're also going to be taken care of, and we're never going to leave someone behind. You do believe that, do you not? Well, then you should be glad to hear that President Biden in his announcement yesterday said 90% of Americans in Afghanistan who wanted to leave were able to leave. That leaves 10% that didn't get out and apparently wanted to go out. But he says, for those remaining Americans, there's no deadline. We remain committed to get them out. How? Oh, we're going to work with the UN, and the UN will work with Taliban, Al-Qaeda and ISIS, and I'm sure there'll be some bargaining and maybe some money paid, and who knows what else if we get them out. And among them, at last report, there are 29 students, 19 families represented in Afghanistan. These are California students who were there still days after our last U.S. troops were drawn out. We did not get them out. So what are we doing about that? Well, according to President Biden, if they want to leave, we'll get them out. There's no deadline. Yeah, there is. There's a deadline of August 31. You said you would be out of the country. You agreed to it. Even though your commander said no, 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 until finally that was their only option. So, okay, we'll have to do it then. They didn't want to do it then, according to all the reports we've been seeing. And we had 13 U.S. service members killed in Afghanistan by that suicide bombing at Karzai International Airport. 12 Marines, one Navy corpsman. And yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi shut the House down, would not allow those names of those servicemen killed in action to be read. Pray for those students. Hopefully they will get out. And, of course, don't forget, we had a lot of Afghans we made promises to. If you help us, we'll help you in the future. Well, one Afghan interpreter is sending a letter through the Wall Street Journal to President Biden saying, help me, I can't leave my house, I'm scared. So why would he be doing that? Why does he think he's more important than the others? Well, he probably doesn't say I'm necessarily more important. I want all of them out, including my family. But he had a very important role in the played back in 2008 because three senators were on a helicopter that went down in a blinding snowstorm in Afghanistan. Chuck Hagel, Republican, John Kerry, Democrat. And the other one was, it starts with a B, Biden was on board. He went out there to rescue and bring them back. Do you think he'll get any special attention. I would hope he and his family and everyone else is. And Jane Fonda, you talk about how things are turning. Jane Fonda, who endorsed Joe Biden's bid for the White House last year, now one of several adding her name to a campaign urging the international community to refuse to recognize the Taliban government. Well, good for what that's going to amount to. And while we're on that subject, ex-CBS anchor Dan Rather disgraced himself even deeper. He put out a tweet attacking pro-life Americans who've also criticized the Biden administration for abandoning vulnerable women in Afghanistan. He said, these women have a right to choose with their body, as we do in the U.S. I have more to say on that before we wrap this hour. Stand by.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have run through the blinding rain without $1 to my name if it hadn't been, if it hadn't been for love. Never would have seen the trouble that I'm in if it hadn't been for love.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The bottom line, 90% of Americans in Afghanistan who wanted to leave were able to leave. And for those remaining Americans, there is no deadline. We remain committed to get them out if they want to come out. Secretary of State Blinken is leading the continued diplomatic efforts to ensure safe passage for any American, Afghan partner, or foreign national who wants to leave Afghanistan.
Well, I feel all warm and fuzzy knowing that those Americans that we left behind, 10%, although we're not really being given a number, are we? That 10% that wanted to go out, we got 90% of those who wanted to go out. We got them out, but we left behind 10%. Now, you know, well, let's say it's just for the sake of the argument for a moment, there's only 10 left behind. But if it's your relative, your spouse, your brother, your sister, friend, or anything else, that acceptable to you? Is that acceptable? And then I really take a lot of, I'm really comforted by the fact that Secretary Blinken is going to work with others to get them out. How? What's he going to offer them? What could he offer them? Money. Well, we got money. Yeah, we'll get you some money. We no sense trying to offer them more guns and ammunition. They got everything we had at Kabul Air Force Base when we abandoned it because we didn't destroy it. We left it behind thinking the Taliban army would hold together and they would be using it. It's being used against us now. They're using it against ISIS. Keep in mind, in that part of the world, and this has been going on since Well, it's as old as dirt. Let us put it that way. The battle between these factions and these sects, the Taliban and the Al-Qaeda now are more closely aligned. ISIS is not. But all three of them want to destroy America. And if they find any Americans, or they find one of those 10, let's say it's just 10, they will use them as either ransom and or whatever else they want to do to them and maybe eventually kill them. But if they get something for them, they'll probably try to do that as well. So how are we going to do that? Because we have no boots on the ground. And I'm not in favor of keeping the boots on the ground. I was in favor of us withdrawing from Afghanistan a long time ago. But do it in an orderly fashion. And it begins by getting Americans out first. And the very last action would be to shut down your major air base in outside Kabul, where you have all of your Apache and Black Hawk helicopters and numerous planes and various weapons and things of that nature securely guarded. That'd be the very last thing. But in this case, hell, here are the keys. You're welcome to it. Goodbye. We're out of here. The only complaint I've heard from the Taliban about what we did, that apparently some of their helicopters they had there, that we tinkered with them so they won't fly right. And maybe they don't know how to fly the Blackhawks right now, but they will get someone in. They'll get somebody from China, maybe Russia. They'll come in. They'll show them how to fly them and operate them. You need parts, we'll help you out with that too. But what are we doing to get, if 90%, again, the quote from Biden, 90% of Americans in Afghanistan who wanted to leave were able to leave. For the other 10%, he might as well assign Harris to do it, like she's done everything with the border. And where the hell is she at now? Has anybody seen or heard from that woman lately? Not that I necessarily want her to stand in place of Biden, just a question. But Blinken, front and center, your job is to get the others out if they want to go out. So he's going to be working with the World Health Organization, I guess, the UN, and any other little groups they can pull together. At least that's what Biden is proposing. And Joe Biden says, yes, we'll go ahead and try the UN.
In fact, just yesterday, the United Nations Security Council passed a resolution that sent a clear message about the international community expects the Taliban to deliver on moving forward, notably freedom of travel, freedom to leave. And together, we are joined by over 100 countries that are determined to make sure the Taliban upholds those commitments.
Yeah. Well, the UN also had passed a resolution that Iran cannot violate various nuclear pieces we put in place. But they did it anyway, and they continue to do it. What are we doing about nothing? Except under this administration, we're willing to send them more money and help them out because we want to be buddies forever and ever. And then Biden makes this decision to pull out overnight, basically, setting and going with a deadline that he did not set, but really the Taliban did, and he agreed to it. I take you back to General Jack King, who is now an analyst for Fox News, said, I saw the four-page document when it was addressed. I read it. I said, this is basically a surrender document, but there were conditions that the Taliban had to reject Al-Qaeda, had to enter into a partner-sharing agreement with the leaders in Kabul. And neither one of those conditions were met, despite the fact the government in Kabul was forced to give up 5,000 prisoners. So if those conditions were not met, well, we shouldn't have done anything. But Biden apparently looked at it and just blew them off, as he blew off the military advice. The CIA director and others were saying, you can't pull out now, not the way you're planning on doing it. But Biden went along with this August 31 arbitrary deadline, and he said, I had to. Trump put it in place when he said May 1. Trump had May 1 in place because that was if he stayed in office. He said, if you violate that, we will come after you, your people, your village. But now that Trump was out and Biden was in, they said, to hell with that document. But Trump recognized all of this. He recognized all of this and pointed it out in a speech August the 21st, 2017, and talking about how important it was that when we do withdraw, it's got to be done properly.
The consequences of a rapid exit are both predictable and unacceptable. 9/11, the worst terrorist attack in our history, was planned and directed from Afghanistan because that country was ruled by a government that gave comfort and shelter to terrorists. A hasty withdrawal would create a vacuum that terrorists, including ISIS and Al-Qaeda, would instantly fill, just as happened before September 11th. And as we know, in 2011, America hastily and mistakenly withdrew from Iraq. As a result, our hard-won gains slipped back into the hands of terrorist enemies. Our soldiers watched as cities they had fought for and bled to liberate and won were occupied by a terrorist group called ISIS. The vacuum we created by leaving too soon gave safe haven for ISIS to spread, to grow, recruit, and launch attacks. We cannot repeat in Afghanistan the mistake our leaders made in Iraq.
But we have. We have. Because Biden says, well, I just, you know, we got to do it August 31. I'm looking at a piece, and of course you have to consider the sources, because I always raise this question anytime they start quoting sources inside, because we saw how they were doing that with Trump all the time. But since they did it, I can do it too. But there's a White House official being quoted in one news report in Politico saying, members of the White House, quote, are absolutely appalled, literally horrified we left Americans there. It was a hostage rescue of thousands of Americans in the guise of a non-combatant evacuation operation, and we have failed that no-fail mission. And Trump recognized also when we withdraw and we pull out of Afghanistan, if we don't have some kind of presence, if we don't maintain some degree, if not control, of our own boots on the ground, but some relationships with the Afghan government to help support them and say we'll be back in and we'll blow the hell out of anyone who tried to take over the country again, he recognized the value of Afghanistan. You want to talk about over the horizon? We need to know what's over the horizon when you're dealing with the countries around Afghanistan and others in that part of the world.
I concluded that the security threats we face in Afghanistan and the broader region are immense. Today, 20 U.S.-designated foreign terrorist organizations are active in Afghanistan and Pakistan, the highest concentration in any region anywhere in the world. For its part, Pakistan often gives safe haven to agents of chaos, violence, and terror. The threat is worse because Pakistan and India are two nuclear-armed states whose tense relations threaten to spiral into conflict, and that could happen.
It certainly could happen. That's a whole concern between Pakistan and India, their tensions, and each nuclear weapon ready to use. And, of course, with Iran ready to jump in and do the same thing. And keep in mind, the decision that we would abandon Bagram Air Force Base, what Trump, and again, those speech remarks you were hearing were from him in 2017, but just in the last few days, the decision of the Biden administration to pull out of Bagram Air Force Base and basically give the keys to the Taliban, the Al-Qaeda, ISIS, or whoever suddenly surfaces, whatever that name of that rattlesnake will be, It was a stupid decision.
Out, I would have taken the people out, and then we would have bombed every base but Bagram. We had to keep that because that's near China and Iran. So we were going to keep that for other purposes. I mean, they spent $10 billion building Bagram, and then they handed it out overnight. They give them the keys. I've never heard any. I have never seen stupidity like this. And they're trying to now the narrative Biden got out like he's brave. He got out like a man that was just fleeing for his life. This is the United States of America. All over the world, they're laughing at us because of the way. Withdrawal is fine, but you withdraw with dignity and with victory. We had victory.
We did have victory. Then we stayed too long. But then when we start to withdraw, we could still do it with dignity and hold on to that victory, except for Biden just suddenly bowing to the Taliban. We want to be there through September 11th. They say, we'll give you to August 31. That's your deadline. That's your line in the sand. Obama knew how to draw a line in the sand, remember? But then he would erase it and back it up a few feet. And you want, then another one and another one. Biden said, oh, they drew a line in the sand. We got to be out by then. We got to be out. And in the midst of all of this, we had Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin on his route to the Persian Gulf region to thank all the nations who helped Afghans and Americans escape. And to him, it's time to celebrate. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
No one denies that we have inherited a challenging and troubling situation in Afghanistan and South Asia, but we do not have the luxury of going back in time and making different or better decisions. When I became president, I was given a bad and very complex hand. But I fully knew what I was getting into. Big and intricate problems. But one way or another, these problems will be solved. I'm a problem solver. And in the end, we will win.
Does that not sound like a leader? There was Trump saying, I got dealt a bad hand, but that's what it is. We're going to deal with it. He didn't. And Joe Biden the other day, the buck stops here. But Trump left us in a mess. Trump was trying to clean up what had been left by the Obama administration, but he didn't even bother naming Obama or anything. He just said, we inherited it, we're going to deal with it. Biden, I got dealt a bad hand. I want five new cards. That was not a good hand. Oh, I need five more. Oh, give me the deck. I'll make my own decision. You see the difference between a leader and someone who is faking it? You could be upset at Trump and his tweets and some of the stuff he did, say they were out of line, over the top. I'll agree with you on some. But when the president of the United States, as in Biden, says the buck stops here, but, there comes a but. When they start adding that, just kiss them off. And he continues to say, 90% of the Americans who wanted out, we got them out. Well, how many are there? Have they told us? Are they telling? And keep in mind, he says, I inherited it from Trump. Reuters has put out a report, transcript of a 14-minute call between Biden and then Afghan President Ghani 3 weeks before Kabul fell. And Ghani was saying, we're facing a full-scale invasion composed of Taliban, full Pakistani planning and a logistical support, at least 10 to 15,000 international terrorists. That was on Biden's watch. He had 3 weeks. What did we do? Continued to pull back. We abandoned Bagram Air Force Base, let them have that and all the equipment in it, and just said, well, we'll just protect the airport at Karzai, which is the middle of Kabul, and everybody trying to get to it had to go through numerous checkpoints the Taliban had set up. Oh, but they want to claim this is really big. We did a really big deal. I mean, Defense Secretary Austin going to the Persian Gulf saying the Kabul evacuation's largest in history, more than 124,000 civilians, including 6,000 Americans. Yeah, but that's not all the Americans, because Biden's already admitted we got 90% of them out. So how many are left? Well, depends on who do you want to believe. I'll leave it to you, my friend. I'm not going to make the decision for you. Secretary of State Blinken Monday said some Americans remain stranded. Maybe 6,000. Maybe the number grow. Maybe less. We believe there's a small number. Then he said maybe under 200, likely closer to 100. In other words, the more he talks, the smaller the number gets. On the same day he's doing that, the Central Command commander, Marine General McKenzie, said after the last aircraft left, he said, we estimate hundreds of Americans have been left behind in the country. Hundreds. Hundreds. Maybe the low hundreds, but hundreds. Hundreds means at least 200. And when I think of hundreds, I don't think of just two. I think of six, seven, more than just two. But, of course, again, according to who the hell was I quoting a moment ago that seems to know everything, Blinken, well, there might be likely 100. Now, who do you want to believe? Pray for those Americans who are still there. Pray for the Afghans and their families who helped us and now are worried about their future, their life, if it's not too late. Next segment, I want to turn the corner and I want to deal with something that is groundbreaking. For the first time since 73, a state has outlawed, basically, abortion. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota, for life.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
January 23rd, 1973, the day of Roe v. Wade, was the last time a state had laws banning abortion. Today, September 1st, 2021, is the first day since 1973 where a state has legally banned abortion. There are no more abortion clinics functioning in Texas. Zero.
Those are the words of Jeffrey Toobin, CNN legal analyst. You know, the one that had a problem with his zipper on a Zoom call and a few other things he had in hand, so to speak. But, of course, he was welcome back to CNN because he's such a brilliant legal mind. He must know where a lot of skeletons are buried, but he's back in there. And he's talking about the Texas abortion law and saying since January 1973, it has been the rule of the land, and this is the first time since that date that we've had a state basically outlaw abortion. Well, you can expect fireworks on both sides. Let me break this down for you. It's called the Texas Heartbeat Act. As of 12 a.m. today, September 1, Texas, the first state of the nation to enact a heartbeat abortion law, which bans abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected. A pro-life organization saying Texas is now the first state ever to enforce a heartbeat law. There was a last-minute effort to block the law. Abortion providers went to the U.S. Supreme Court for an injunction. The court has not yet ruled on that matter, though it could do so at any point. And the law is passed by the Texas legislature, signed into law by Governor Greg Abbott, Republican, is now in effect. Texas Right to Life Legislative Director John Sago responded following the provider's application to the high court, and he said, "The abortion industry is using their last desperate option in an attempt to block the life-saving Texas Heartbeat Act from taking effect. This anti-life lawsuit is invalid. We are hopeful Justice Alito will examine the compelling arguments raised, explaining why the case should be ultimately dismissed." Now, generally for major matters such as this, according to the piece written here by the Associate Press writer, for major matters like this, standard procedures, the justice supervising the relevant appeals court, which I do know and I accept, in this case, the U.S. Court of Appeals, Fifth Circuit, to refer the application to eight colleagues for the full Supreme Court to vote on it. But this judge can make that decision, and he has at this time put it at least in consideration. Those who favor abortion are hoping they will get the law eventually blocked and overturned over the weekend when the Fifth Circuit canceled initially hearing something for Monday. But then it got to this date, September 1, and it's law. There have been other states passing heartbeat bills. But when they were signed into law, immediately abortion rights activists filed lawsuits challenging them. And courts have blocked these laws, requiring or ruling they're unconstitutional in light of the Supreme Court 1973 ruling Roe v. Wade and other decisions. But the Texas measure is a little bit different. It's a unique enforcement mechanism whereby any private citizen anywhere, you don't have to be a private citizen of Texas, can file a civil lawsuit against an abortion provider or any other individual who aids or abets a criminal abortion. Texas Right to Life organizing an effort to help private citizens enforce that new law. They have a titled Pro-Life Whistleblower site up, inviting citizens, send us an anonymous tip. We'll take a look at it. Abortion funding that provides financial or logistical support to women who kill their unborn children after a fetal heartbeat is detectable. That would be aiding and abetting. Doctors or medical personnel who provide abortion referrals after 6 weeks gestation. That would be aiding and abetting. Any other individual entity that aids or abets an illegal abortion in any way can be sued. They had to pay damages to the person who sued them of at least $10,000 for each illegal abortion they performed or assisted in. One Texas resident, founder of And Then There Were None, which helps get abortion workers out of the industry, said, "I'm proud to live in this great state. More than 85% of the abortions will be abolished in Texas." All right, that's pretty much the side of those who are all in favor of it. There is the other side, and I always present both sides for you. I have my view on it, and I think you know mine, but I'll drive it home for you here in a moment anyway. But the question came up by the CNN host, since he had Jeffrey Toobin on board. You just said this is the first state in the nation since January 1973 to outlaw abortion, and we're talking about early heartbeat.
6 weeks, it's viability, fetal viability, which is about 6 weeks. And there are some estimates that about 85%, if not higher, of abortions in Texas take place after that. It's before most women even know they're pregnant.
Well, and remember, it's not, that's the law. But think about what an abortion provider has to think about in light of this law. If you are sued, not only sued successfully for aiding and abetting an abortion, that's the term that's used in the law. If you are sued successfully, you have to pay the $10,000 fine, you have to shut down, and you have to pay the attorney's fees of the plaintiff in the case, whoever the plaintiff may be. It could be somebody in Montana could be the plaintiff. I mean, it could be anyone in the country suing to stop people from having abortions. So being rational actors, these abortion clinics are saying, look, we're just not going to do this.
Yeah.
And that is the clear purpose of the law.
Well, Planned Parenthood, the nation's leading abortion provider, vows to continue fighting. And the Susan B. Anthony list adds this historic moment in the fight to protect women and children from abortion. And that the limiting abortions after 6 weeks of conception, the live action president said, no child should have her skull crushed, ripped to pieces in an abortion. Because often they dismember the fetus before evacuating it in pieces, or as in vacuuming the pieces out, other than pieces they may want to sell for some profit. Then, of course, you have those on the other side, including Dan Rather, just could not keep his mouth shut, trying to remain relevant. He rushed out a tweet and saying, it's worth noting that many of the same people attacking the Biden administration for leaving women's rights behind in Afghanistan are eager to control women's bodies and choices in the United States. Well, immediately the critics hit back on Rather, which, well, they should. One identified themselves as pro-choice, but said Rather's tweet just mischaracterized the pro-life argument. She wrote, I'm pro-choice, but most pro-choice people intentionally mischaracterize the pro-life argument. Dan here is one of these same people. And others were also responding. One was saying, the people who think dismembering babies is wrong are the ones who are similar to the Taliban. Pro-abortioners always have the most sound arguments. Then another one said, when I read tweets like this, it dawns on me that this is indeed a pseudo-religious sacrament for Western elites. In their minds, they equate what Taliban is doing to women with those fighting to end atrocity that is abortion. The bottom line is, it's stupid, Dan Rather. It's stupid, and you're an idiot for even putting that out on a tweet. Do you believe that they really care about women in Afghanistan? They don't care about women. I've already told you their attitude toward women. Shut up. Keep your face covered. And if you're a 3 or 4 or 5 year old and you're raped, then you will have to marry the rapist. And if you're going to complain about it, just off with your head. And, of course, we still have women that would tell you, hey, it's my body. It's my body. I can do what I want. And when they do that the next time, my argument back is, I don't want the vaccine. It's my body. Why do I have to take it? Well, because if you don't, you might get COVID and you might infect and kill someone. Well, that might be possible. You might be right. But I know one thing for damn certain. For damn certain, if you have an abortion, you are killing someone. The heartbeat detected at 6 weeks. Now, what are you going to call that? You want to follow the science? The science says if there's a heartbeat, there's a difference between that and a rock on the ground that has no heartbeat. One is not alive, one is. That's the science. You want us to follow the science? No, you really don't. You want us to follow political science the way you describe it. I'm very happy they've done this in Texas. Hopefully we'll save some children. When we continue, I want to focus on another issue that's happening in Afghanistan.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm waiting.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I want to take a moment to add some final points on the abortion issue. I recognize there are times that to save the mother's life, abortion may well be necessary. I don't pretend to be God, and I don't have all the answers. I do know that taking an innocent life is wrong. So for those of you who say, well, you're for the death penalty, how can you be against abortion? Because a six-week-old fetus or even a newly born child has done no criminal activity worthy of an execution. They're just trying to live. And I've known a lot of women who went through an abortion and later regretted it. And I know a lot of women who stand there in my face and say, you don't get it, it's my body, I can do what I want with it. And my attitude has always been, well, you're right. But if your mother had made that same attitude and decision, you wouldn't be standing here talking to me, would you? And now reference vaccine mandates and so forth. A lot of people are saying, it's my body, I can decide what I want to put into it or not. Well, if it's your body to have an abortion, it should be your body to make a decision if you want to have the vaccine or not. You can't have it both ways, really. You really can't. You may live your life both ways, but when you come down to it, are you for that you have an absolute right to your body all the time and what you do to it or not, or you have no right? I get that this subject, as long as I've had this program, I've always wanted to make sure that I point this out on abortion. And I'm not judging people who have had them for whatever reason. I'll tell you what I shared with my girls when they were younger. And I'm talking about when they were 12 and 13, because I thought that's probably not too young to start talking. And in some areas, that might be too late. But I said, if you get pregnant, you will have the child. It will change your life forever. But we're not going to abort. You're going to have the child. But I'll be there to help you and support you. At that time, I also had to tell them, if you get AIDS, all I could do is hold your hand and watch you die. Thank God we've come far from that. You have a different opinion? Some people say, I'm not going to listen to you anymore because I know now you're pro-life. Yeah, I am. Aren't you pro-life? I assume even those who want to say they are in favor of abortion are actually pro-life, at least their life. And we have Americans right now stranded in a country that cares nothing about women. They sexually mutilate their genitals. They cover the women up. They subject them to anything that they choose to do to them. And then if they're lucky, they may kill them quickly. But if it's a three-year-old child and they're raped, well, then they will just have to marry their rapist. Does that sound right to you? For everyone on this side that talks about, oh, we're going to be good and kind and love LGBTQ and all Americans, and I mean, we're going to love every people of the world. Really? For some things, you may love them as a person that created by God, but do you love what they do? We still don't know about some 30 members of a school out of San Francisco, California students from the San Juan Unified School District that are somewhere in Afghanistan. We may know more later today. We do know about a missing Representative Mark Wayne Mullen, Republican of Oklahoma. He's been missing for a period of time, and they realized that he had been in Afghanistan trying to help get Americans out. He said, the mission continues. I'm fine. I was dark for a while. Wasn't safe to communicate. He's criticizing Biden for how he handled the evacuation. But he also says, I never felt myself that I was in any danger, but I was doing everything I could to get Americans out. One's abandoned by President Biden. According to the Washington Report, Congressman Mullen landed in Pakistan en route to Afghanistan, had trouble with the U.S. Embassy trying to get a large sum of cash in, planned to hire a helicopter to enter Afghanistan and rescue five American citizens, a woman, her four children, sought the ambassador's help, got the ambassador's assistance in bypassing the laws on cash limits, and were eventually able to get some out. Because our administration is content to say, it's the biggest airlift in history, and weren't we great? Didn't we do great? And the chief commander saying 90% of Americans got out. There are another 10% that didn't and may never. Thank you for supporting this program and telling your friends and family about it. It's the best program in town. You know it. I know it. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.